Well, it's always great to have the kids on Christmas Eve to tell us what Christmas is all about. Did you hear the one, Zane, was Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer? That was his favorite song. Christmas Eve. You know, there is no other night like tonight. I don't think that there is. You know, in the Jewish tradition of Passover, in the traditional Passover, there's a point where the son of the one who is presiding over the Passover dinner says, why is this like night like no other night? And so that's in the Passover tradition. But Christmas Eve is unusual. Christmas Eve there's just something about it. I mean, you are here at church, and we're singing Christmas songs, and we've got Christmas decorations, and so there's a mood that we set for Christmas Eve. But I believe that even if you weren't here right now, you would sense that something is different about this night. You could be working, could be home watching football or cooking or baking. You could just be driving somewhere, and there's this sense of Christmas Eve being different from other nights. It's just unusual. It's the anticipation, like the kids said. What are you looking forward to? They're looking forward to tomorrow. And that anticipation in our culture right now starts building about Halloween, right? It used to build later about Thanksgiving to Christmas, but now it starts about Halloween. You start noticing in the stores that there are Christmas decorations and Christmas sales. And then little by little, there's more and more Christmas. You're driving, even on the radio, you hear Christmas songs. Or even if you're listening to a rock station or a country station, the ads and the commercials and the music before the news, everything changes. And little by little, there's more and more Christmas on TV. Everything starts to be telling us that Christmas is around the corner. There are children's events that you go to. There are lights everywhere. This time of year, of course, you drive home from work and it's already dark, and you see Christmas lights, and you come home and you've set up a tree and you have decorations. And little by little, there is this anticipation that's building and building and building. And of course, there's shopping, right? The biggest shopping season of the year is from Thanksgiving to Christmas to today. And if you were out doing last-minute shopping, you know what a zoo that is. It's anticipation that is building for tomorrow. And what are we waiting for? What is the anticipation that is building? Of course, it's Christmas, but what is so special about Christmas? What is it about Christmas that we have this anticipation? When I was growing up, like many of you, like these kids, Christmas was, the anticipation was almost unbearable, right? I grew up in a town in Idaho, southeastern Idaho, and at our house, 8 kids in our house, 2 parents, of course, so 10 people in this house at 704 West Cedar in Pocatello, Idaho. At 704 West Cedar, in this 4-bedroom house, it was quite small, 1 bathroom, a coal furnace, and there was 1 grate right in the middle of the house. Insulation was very poor, so when it was cold outside in southeastern Idaho, I remember scratching the frost and the ice off the inside of the windows. Some of you remember that. And what we would do as a family on Christmas Eve, my dad would put us all in the station wagon. I don't know how he did that. I know we were violating laws today, seatbelt laws, but we just got into the car and we drove around and we would look at the Christmas lights. We'd drive up on the benches around Pocatello and we'd look at the lights and we would ooh and we'd awe and we'd look at all the incredible decorations. Then we would come home and we would have snacks. My mom, weeks in advance, was making fudge and cookies and even cakes and all sorts of wonderful things that we would have, and they were reserved just for Christmas Eve. So the snacks would come out after looking at the Christmas lights, and we had this red candle that was reserved just for Christmas Eve, and it was about this tall and about this wide square. It was just this huge candle The only time it ever came out, the only time it was ever lit, was on Christmas Eve. So we'd eat our snacks, we would light the candle, we'd turn out all the lights except for the lights on the tree, and we would sing Christmas carols for a little while. And just like tonight, the last song that we would sing would be Silent Night. And then we'd blow out the red candle, and we'd go to bed. And that, all of that, just built the expectation for us kids, because we did it every year. And that expectation and that anticipation was palpable. It was just thick, and you could cut it in the air. All that would build that anticipation. I remember one Christmas, my sister and I, we practiced creeping up and down the staircase so we wouldn't wake our parents up, because the stairway was right by their bedroom. We knew that if they heard us, they would say, "Go back to bed," which they always did, like you parents say to your kids as well. But we were practicing because we were so excited. And what is it we were looking forward to with such anticipation that we could hardly go to bed, we could hardly go to sleep, and then we would wake up really early, like we never woke up early, and we were just ready to go. What was it that caused this great anticipation? Was it Santa Claus that we were looking forward to coming? At the time, I think we probably thought it was. But as I look back on it, we weren't anticipating Santa Claus coming. We were anticipating him being gone. Because we were anticipating presents. It was all about the presents. Still all about the presents, isn't it? It's all about the presents. Some Christmases for me were wonderful and magical, and I got what I wanted. But with 8 kids and an income that was small, we didn't usually get the latest and the greatest. But I remember getting many things that I wanted, and I remember a few years being sorely disappointed. One year, I think I told about it here on a Christmas Eve, I wanted a Schwinn Stingray so very, very bad. My best friend wanted one. I wanted one. I asked my parents, I want a Stingray for Christmas. And Christmas came and I got a new bike. But it was a Western Auto, Western Flyer. Big old handlebars. And my best friend got this beautiful apple green Schwinn Stingray. And time, I was disappointed. Looking back on that, I understand my parents couldn't afford it. But at the time, as a young boy, there was this longing for something that I thought would really fulfill what I really needed in life, which was a Stingray. But I got a lot of things that I wanted. I remember getting a Tonka fire truck. I remember getting a farm set one year. I remember getting a car set, a garage set. Had it was all a metal garage, and it had a lift, like an elevator where you could lift the cars up to the top. I got a trombone one Christmas. I got a set of skis one Christmas. And like oftentimes in my family, the trombone and the skis were hand-me-downs from family members. How about you? What do you think of when you think of the greatest present you received? Think back on your Christmases, gifts that you received that were really wonderful and that you got what you wanted. You know, every Christmas I looked with such anticipation to opening my presents and getting those presents on Christmas morning. But let me tell you something about those presents. They're all gone. Every single one of them, gone. Yeah, I know some people save their childhood toys and they become collectibles. Maybe you've got some from when you were a kid. But for the average person, every present we receive on Christmas, no matter how much we longed for it or anticipated it, no matter how precious or how expensive it was, one day ends up in a landfill. And yet every Christmas we look forward to presents. It's all about the presents. But there's something more at play here, because there's something more. And the something more at play is that we all have some longing in our lives. Every anticipation of something is a shadow of something greater. We all want something. We all want something more. We all want something greater. There is something that is beyond what we long for in this world and what we get in this world, something that we long for, and it can only be grasped by God giving it to us and granting it to us. And so what we're really anticipating on Christmas Eve is Christmas. And by Christmas, I mean the real Christmas, the baby born in a manger, and all that it means that this baby was born in a manger. That is what we're really anticipating. That is what we are longing to see and to have. Your anticipation is not about presents, but your anticipation is about a person. The person of Jesus Christ, the baby who was born in a manger. And since it's about a person, that means that the Christmas is personal. It's not devices and gadgets and things that end up in landfills, but it is about the person of Jesus Christ. Why such great anticipation? Because we live in a world that's broken. I mean, you know that. I don't need to convince you of that. We have broken governments. We have broken leaders. Broken nations that are made up of broken people. People whose lives are broken. That's us. And why are we broken? We're broken because of sin. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans that the entire creation is groaning, longing to be released from the effects of sin. There's this anticipation of even nature itself. Let heaven and nature sing, because heaven and nature is longing for this release from this dark night that we're in. And the fix is Christmas. The thing that fixes is the baby that is born in the manger. It is God's plan to fix all of the brokenness, all of the longings that are unfulfilled, all the anticipation that is unmet, and it's all built into us to long for it. We're broken by our sin, and our sin is what makes us imperfect. I want to show you a couple of lines from some Christmas songs. One of them that we sing at Advent is "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus," and it says this: "Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in Thee." The baby born in a manger came to set us free, because we're in bondage to sin, and He came to set us and release us, and that we might find our rest, the longing fulfilled, the anticipation fulfilled in Him. Augustine said this: "Thou hast made us for Thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in Thee." We're going to continue to long for something more, and we're going to continue to have anticipation that is unmet until we find our rest in Him. "Hark, the herald angels sing." Line says this: "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King." That's what the manger is all about. "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." God and sinners reconciled. You see, God is holy. He is perfect. Oh, holy night. It's the night that represents the holiness of God, that in Him there is no darkness. He is pure. He is sinless. And yet our lives are stained and ruined and marred by our own sin, and sin that has crept into the world and broken everything. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," Scriptures say. So there's this great gulf between us and God. He is perfect. We are not. He is holy. We are not. He is unlimited. We are limited. And this great gulf cannot be met in any way but by Him. It's like trying to jump across the Grand Canyon, for all have sinned and come short of the glory, the perfection, the holiness of God. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. The world is dark, we know that. Yet the light of Christ shines through that darkness, and it is an everlasting light. It's forever light. It's not one that we turn on or a candle that we light and blow out because the wax runs out. It's an everlasting light. And every longing, every hope that you have ever had is fulfilled in Christ tonight. Everything you've ever wanted is fulfilled in Him. At the same time, every darkness, every dark secret, every disappointment, every fear that you have had that no one else knows anything about but you harbor in your heart, every one of those is comforted in Christ tonight for you. Every present you long for but did not get is fulfilled tonight in Christ. Another verse to that song says this: how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. It's a gift. It's a present. It is about presence, isn't it? It's about the present. It's about the gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It is the gift, the present, the gift of God. Not as a result of works, lest any of us should boast. But it is for us to believe that. It's for us to receive that, for all who receive it. And that means it takes humility on our part, for you are admitting that you are in need, that all of your longings have not been met, that all of your sin has marred your life. And then it takes faith that God will do what He says He will do. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. If you believe on His name and you humbly receive Him, He comes into your life and you have the gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died and rose again. So it's a present that's paid for, but it's paid for with a dear price, the life of the Son of God. So our presence, every present that we receive, I believe, is just a mere shadow of the greatest gift that God gives to us, the gift of eternal life. One Christmas, my son Micah wanted a paintball gun for Christmas. He showed me this paintball gun that was on eBay. And so I went to eBay and bought the paintball gun, watching the tracking. Some of you have been watching tracking the last few days. Watching the tracking, and then I realized on Christmas Eve, wasn't going to make it. So I went back to the website, captured the image of the paintball gun, printed it out in color on my color printer, put it in a box, wrapped it up. On Christmas morning, Micah opened up his present, and on the inside, there was a picture of a paintball gun. But he knew what it meant. He knew he was getting a paintball gun. When his friends asked him, "What did you get for Christmas?" "I got a paintball gun. It's not here yet, but I got a paintball gun." He knew it was coming. In similar fashion, all of our gifts are just a mere shadow, a facsimile, if you will. Just a representative of all that we want, all that we need, all that we long for, all that we anticipate in the person of Jesus Christ. Tonight or tomorrow when you open your gifts, they are not the real gift that you long for. The real gift that you long for is the person of Jesus Christ. And so I know many of you know him, and that's why you're here. But many of you may not have received that gift, like it says, the wondrous gift is given, and God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in the world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. And maybe this is the moment you receive the dear Christ, that he will enter in. Will you reach out by faith right now and accept the gift that will satisfy your eternal longing? For there is none other. And when you reach out and receive it by faith, that need is met by wiping away every sin that you ever committed and giving you a life that lasts forever. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And if you would bow your heads, maybe you would like to pray to tell God that. I must make it clear to you that it's not a prayer by which God wipes away your sins and gives you eternal life. It is the death of Christ and his resurrection. And the prayer is the means by which you tell God, I believe this. I repent of my sin, and I believe and I accept the gift of eternal life. And so you might pray in your heart a prayer that expresses your faith now like this. Dear God, I thank you for sending your Son on Christmas morning, the Son of God, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Thank you, Father, for making him known to me tonight, the Savior who is Christ the Lord. I realize that my longings in this life have not been met, and my fears oftentimes have been because of my own sin. And I ask you to take it away through Christ, to forgive me. I ask you to give me the gift of eternal life and to come into my life, to enter in, dear Christ, by faith in you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for giving to me the present that will last forever, the present of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. We are going to sing Silent Night. It's a good time for us all to reflect upon the moment that Christ came for all of us. Our ushers are going to come forward and once again, lighted candle straight up, unlit candle. Tomorrow we will light the Christ candle, which is the top candle. But this evening we're lighting our candles from the candle of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.